I'm Elise.
And I'm Lizzie.
And you're listening to Cool Moms Podcast.
Are we on the air?
Welcome back to Cool Moms. I was rusty because it's a new year.
Hey,
and it's been a while. Hey, Liz.
Hey, Lisa.
How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy day.
Do you not like when? Do you have an issue with the New Year as
well?
Yeah,
because people have been saying that until it's damn near August. Like, it's done.
It's still January. Hey. We can still say Happy New Year.
It's Friday.
It's a non-religious based holiday. Everyone can celebrate. Everyone likes a fresh start. Mm-hmm. We do live in the Western world.
People need to leave the gym because my gym is crowded and people are faking it because they're not going to last until the mid of February. So all y'all fake gym resolution, I'm going to lose weight for the first year. I need to get the hell up out of the gym and give it back to the people who need it and use it. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Honestly feeling so attacked right now.
Yes, you said that's coming for you.
Not I, but I'm about to cash in 5 days free. Try it out. I will. This week in motherhood. I know it's been a while, but what's been going on this particular week in motherhood with you?
It's been a long while, so I'm like trying to accumulate all of the many happenings.
Yeah.
Let's start by saying Erem made her first walk yesterday.
Yes,
my baby girl's walking. Mm-hmm. Before she walked, she turned one. So this is her birthday. This is our baby's birthday month. Yeah. It's been very emotional. Not for you, I suppose. And I love how you left me in crickets after I went on like a long text. I went and I said, Elise, I'm getting very emotional. Tomorrow is going to be the day that I went into labor. And it's really coming down on me. And
not her laughing this entire time.
Thank you.
Because I didn't even read the whole thing. I started skipping out. I was like, it's too much.
Thank you. I gave you my heart.
I didn't even know that you said that.
I gave you my therapy moment. It was cricket for like a whole week. I was like, oh, damn. But Erem turned one. Shout out to her. January 6th. Ooh, boo-boo. Happy birthday, Elle.
Happy birthday, Erem.
Happy birthday, Erem and Elle, our producer.
And Sergeant.
Seven. And Sergeant.
Team Capricorn.
Capricorn.
Man.
Team, everybody's birthday.
All these damn birthday. Billy goats. Scruff McGruff.
I love a Capricorn now that our babies are born. So we celebrated birthdays. We celebrated walks. I've been very emotional. I was emotional yesterday when I was looking through Elise's Instagram as she went through the first year of Sergeant's life. You would have thought that I birthed him. But I was like, I'm not going to give her another paragraph too because she didn't respond. But I watched it.
I'm glad it moved you.
It did. I just couldn't believe that I have a one-year-old. Right?
You're so... I don't know why I'm so like emotionally detached from the whole thing.
You're just like, you're cute. Cute. Cute.
Sorry,
it's nice.
No, I think it's very sweet because you try to act like you have no feelings and you're like feeling so much about it.
I know. Mm-hmm. She makes me feel.
Good.
She makes me feel. I love her. What else? I've been reading. You know your girl don't read.
I knew I was going to laugh at that because you don't read.
I don't read.
I'm happy for
reading.
You.
Mm-hmm. But.
What did you read?
Okay. Audiobook is reading, right?
No.
Sure. Oh.
Okay.
Just really
how about this?
To be nice.
Audiobook with the book in your hand and reading along with the audiobook.
Well, why are you doing
reading.
That?
Because this is what happens. I want to read on the train. I specifically took the train so I can read my book,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I read on a train. But then when I'm not sitting down and I'm walking from across the street, I still want to continue the book. So I listen to the audiobook.
Mm. So the book is a front, so people know that you're reading.
You're a whole asshole. You're a whole hot asshole.
You want people to know, like, I am reading Michelle Obama's Becoming.
So I had the book. Can I announce the book that I read? Thank you. I had the book, and I was like, I ain't reading this shit. But because I don't have time, I feel guilty. Today, this is a real mother moment. I feel guilty reading because I have a list of things to do. So the fact that I can sit down and take time to read means you ain't getting the shit done. We have a lot of things to do. I have a lot of things to do with self, business. So if I'm going to sit here and try to be cute and drink some tea in the corner of my room and say, today I'm reading. It's like, girl, you don't got none of this to do? I had a long list of stuff to do, and I feel guilty reading and not getting.
I thought you was going to leave that guilt in 2018.
No, I got shit to do. Oh. There's a lot of things I got to get done that has not, well, you know, are transitioning into getting done. Ain't no time to read but the train. So my reading is for commuting.
So you've been reading Michelle Obama's.
Yes. Auntie Mimi, I read you. I read your book, Auntie Mimi. Yes, I did. I tried to start reading another book, not inspired, but I read Auntie Michelle's book, and it was really good. And she touched a lot of motherhood. She touched a lot of, I mean, you guys can read the book, but she said some real life things. And it was one thing that stuck out to me was how she never wanted to stand in the position of just taking on a wife role, because she just knew her self-worth. And she always had plans to do other things outside of, you know, being Michelle Obama, the president's wife. So it was really amazing how she said sometimes she had to set back and take that position. But while taking that position, she also was able to discover, basically, she's a Capricorn and she's a non-stopper. Mm. And it was just amazing to see.
She too is a Capricorn.
Yes, Auntie Michelle's a Capricorn. And she is the epitome of a Capricorn. Very controlling and organized. but I love her life. And I love what she had to say about being a mom and how she made motherhood a priority, but made herself a priority. And it didn't come that easy for her. And it was a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of resentment towards our former president, Mr. Obama, as he's growing and, you know, she just didn't want to have to adapt to someone else's life. And that sounds like me. Like, she wanted to be selfless her whole way through when it came to her career. So I thought that was amazing, but she made it work. how's your week in motherhood, Elise?
Fantastic.
Tell me. Tell us.
I don't even know where to start. Sergeant turned one yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, my angel.
All right.
Sergeant Shakur Farrar. Okay. And I didn't cry not once yesterday, and I'm incredibly emotional.
Yeah, we switched.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt really proud. I'm just like, gosh, look at you. I just felt really proud and excited and happy. And, pardon me. Yeah, that's about that.
You didn't go through the time lapse of like, oh, this time last year I was sitting on the bed and my water broke. And then I was sitting through these labor pains. And
not really. I was like, wow, it's been a year and like we've had so much fun. And I look back at all our photos and you know how your phone does that. On this day last year. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't looked at like my labor and birthing images in a while. And I was like, gosh, this was so special. And I felt really good about the fact that, you know, all the people that were present when he was born were also present to celebrate his first year on this earth. Oh. So that was really sweet. But it was chill. It was just a good day. And aside from that, what else have I been up to? I don't know. It feels like a lot to tap into, but I don't really know where I want to start. Oh, holiday time. Holiday time. Holiday
That's old,
time.
But
well, damn. Can I just recap it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So remember, I was really hesitant about going. I was really hesitant about going down south just because I get very like anti in general when it comes to like having to make concessions for family. but we went to Charlotte. We had the best time with Sergeant's dad's family. Mm-hmm. Like the best time. It was super sweet. And then his family did a lip sync battle.
Oh yes, you told me about this. Go ahead, brag. Go ahead, that's your time.
And you know who won the lip sync battle?
Sergeant. Hello, with his goo goo gaga.
No girl. Lizzie, shut up. You on mute. I'm putting you on mute for the rest of my this week on motherhood.
Fine.
No, girl. I was a judge for the lip sync battle because I really did not want, I don't like being put on the spot. So I was like, I'll just judge because I'm good at that.
So fake humble. You're so fake humble.
And so, but you know, it's always the person in a position like, I mean, but if it was me, I would do. So from the sideline, I'm all like, I mean, if I did it, I would do Dolly Parton's Jolene. So somebody was listening. Mm-hmm. And when I was getting my little stuff together, like, oh, Elise, glad you're up. You're next. You're going to do Dolly Parton's Jolene. At this point, I had like a very heavy glass of wine, which was much needed. And his family is a lot of people. They're all very animated. So I was like, Elise, I had this very quick pep talk. Like, if you're going to do it, commit. There is nothing more excruciating to watch than someone who like doesn't really want to do the karaoke or lip sync. And it's like, this ain't fun. So I did Dolly Parton Jolene. I went and got a chair from the kitchen so I could be seated. And then someone happened to have a tennis racket. I pulled the tennis racket as my prop and I began to strum it like a guitar. And I got up out of my chair and I serenaded every single person in the room. I went around. I got full tens across the board.
Wow.
So pretty proud of myself. Made a great impression on the family. Everyone loves me now. So I was really happy about that. That was fantastic. And then like fast forward, I don't know. Elle, what's been going on in my life?
The way you turned to look at her.
We were texting. What did I say?
Hilarious.
What did I say I was going to say? Sorry. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
New Year. Amazing art again. Oh my God, thank you so much. Okay, but the thing I'm most excited about, since being pregnant and giving birth, my art practice, although I've like come out with a children's book, it's been put on pause. And so I got like the opportunity I've been wanting for my art. I'm doing this huge installation project in LA. I'm teaching myself how to mosaic. Mm-hmm. Really excited about that. So that's really been it that I'm going to share this time because we've got a few more episodes. Got more stuff coming. But yeah, I'm hype. I'm really excited to share my work with y'all in LA. And yeah, I'm feeling like an artist again. I'm just feeling really creative. And that's about it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. She's still blonde in 2019.
Yes, hello.
<That's> Speaking of... nothing, because there's no good segue there.
I mean, you might have heard her voice a few seconds ago.
Yes, our awesome third co-host of the day is Jacina Almond.
Hi.
Welcome to Cool Moms. Jacina is obviously a mother, but she's also a model and an entrepreneur and artist. And I feel like you got some other things in your pocket that you don't pull
works.
Out.
That
okay.
Works.
Yes.
And.
Your last name is amazing.
Thank you.
I said that earlier.
It's Thank really yeah. amazing.
Yeah.
When anybody asks me to spell it, I'm like, almond, like the nut.
That's cute.
Does your baby have your last name?
No, her name is Six Rose Valentine.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah. That's a name.
Yeah, you can't get any better than that.
That's good.
Six Rose.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I was born on the sixth day. Her dad was born in the sixth month. We never really thought about her name. We just called her Six, like, okay. since the day I got pregnant. And, yeah, that's it. His last name's Valentine. That's it. It was always baby Six.
Rose. Where'd Rose
Rose, you know, what goes with Six and Valentine? She was just not about to have a middle name, because what fits in
that? Because Six Valentine was solid.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but all of he and all his, like, siblings have our names, and I was like, Rose, let's do it.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That's nice. Beautiful. Since you have mentioned now, since you were pregnant, can we revisit what you're chatting about earlier? Like, what was happening? First, let's talk about what was happening in your life before you became pregnant, like right before you were pregnant. What did life look like for you?
I looked like a 20-year-old girl that worked at American Apparel.
That's very free.
So, like, yeah.
Basically free.
Yeah, very free, very, you know.
Spandex.
Yes, in tennis skirts.
Nice.
Body suits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Titties out.
Yes. Very 20.
Yes.
I can still look 20. just in case anybody else wanted to know, okay? I still have those options.
Great.
Okay.
And where did you, were you just like living life and having fun at 20, or where did you think you would be 5 years from then.
Yeah, I was just living life, having fun. You know, all models, they start. You have to work at American Apparel. Like, totally. For our age, you know, mm-hmm. worked at American Apparel if you wanted to be a model. So I was just waiting for my big break. I was ready and prepared, okay?
I worked at American Apparel, but I did not want to be a model. I just wanted a job in free clothes.
That works. Harder. Okay. So yeah, I just was like, cool, you know, I'm gonna be a model. It's gonna happen. Just gonna wait it out.
Yeah.
And have fun.
You had a lot of fun.
A little bit.
And so then you became pregnant.
And then I fell pregnant.
Wow. Talk about it. Because I don't hear a lot of people say that.
No, I don't usually say that. I was just being sarcastic.
Oh,
but you did say that.
But you said you knew you were pregnant before you actually took it.
Yeah, no, I definitely knew I was pregnant for like 2 weeks before. So we clearly weren't using any precautions. I was on the shot before I got pregnant, and whoa. I knew, like, so you know, the shot after has like that whole like 12 to 18 month type of.
I have no clue.
If you got depo, like, you're not going to get pregnant for at least 12 months after it. Like, so I was like, hey, by the way, yeah, I stopped my last shot last year, and it's going to be 12 months soon.
Oh, shoot. So did you forget about the time?
No, we had a whole convo about it. I said, I'm not getting on any birth control because I have found myself, and I'm not putting hormones in my body anymore. I'm now 20, and I'm an adult, and I know that these are not good for you anymore, okay? So you want to start wearing condoms? No, that didn't happen.
Which is such an important topic. It's like, what is it? What is it that... Okay, we'll get there.
No, that didn't happen. We knew we were just playing, basically. Mm-hmm. We had the convo. It was like, if it happens, it happens. But it's not going to happen.
It's always cute and
very. Yeah, we didn't... Yeah, you know? Mm-hmm. So it happened. We knew, like, literally before I took a test, I couldn't sleep on my stomach. My boobs were hurting so bad. I was just tired, and so, yeah, he was just like, you're pregnant, you're definitely pregnant. I was like, haha, you're funny, it's not pregnant, are you joking?
You were in denial.
Yeah, I was in denial, but then, so, we found out on his birthday, June 24th, 2016. That was the day I was supposed to have my period as well. I went to a shoot, on the way home, I said, you know what, period's not here, let me just stop at this CVS. I just went straight to the bathroom. It was positive. So I just walked into our room. Mind you, we have roommates. He moved in with me to my one little bedroom.
This is very 20s.
We have two other roommates. I just walk into our room like, happy birthday. You're going to be a dad.
Damn.
Yeah.
You didn't cry by yourself? What was the feeling? I was excited as fuck.
Excuse me?
Oh, yes.
I was like, I'm going to be a mom. This is great. Nice.
Did you think you were always going to be a mother?
Yeah, that's the crazy part is, like, I've always wanted to be a mom since I was tiny.
Okay.
My mom was surprised I wasn't a teen mom.
Your mama said that?
Yeah, she's like surprised I made it to 20 without having a baby. She was like...
Your mom know you a fucking...
Yeah, I told her when I lost my virginity at 17. I was a late bloomer.
No. That wasn't a judgment pause. I think that was Lizzie and I trying to figure out how much we were going to reveal about ourselves.
Well,
and our response. So relatively, yes, that is a late bloom.
Yeah, I felt like I was super late in the game.
Okay.
And then I respect your decisions.
Lizzie, you an old hoe. So you went from like super excited about pregnancy, but you talked about experiencing pregnancy alone. What was that transition like?
Well, so Six's dad, do I even want to have the convo? Six's dad is a rapper. If you know him, you know him. If you don't, it's fine. You will eventually. He's my guy. Still not going to play him. So it was, he kind of left to go to LA when I was like in the beginning of my first trimester. And it was basically, yeah, he was in LA like the whole time. He would come back to Atlanta for a couple of days, do whatever he had to do there, like work wise. But yeah, I gave birth alone.
Oh no.
Wow. Yeah. I was.
What was that like? Wait, you were basically by yourself throughout the entire trimester? All three.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Every trimester is crucial.
Yeah. It was, mm-hmm. I mean, it was stressful. It was tough because, especially at 20, you don't. Like, you know, you're like, I'm pregnant. You're going to rub my belly and rub my feet and take care of me. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a wake up call, bitch. Right. Hi.
Yeah.
You're alone. Right. So it was hard. It was stressful. It sucked a little bit, you know? And, you know, you always think, like, it's going to be different, but it wasn't. And, you know, I did it. I feel like it was really empowering because you realize that you don't really need anybody and you can do whatever you need. Like, you're going to get through it and you're going to do what you have to do to make it work.
My theory.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You took one step at a time.
Yeah.
And you figured it out.
Yeah, exactly.
What was your community like before pregnancy? While you were pregnant, rather.
Well, so I met my best friend, Six's godmom, while I was pregnant, actually. I was, like, 4 months pregnant. So I was always a bit of a loner. In like Atlanta, I had just moved there. I moved there a year before, and people knew me, but I didn't really like go out that much. It was more or less like internet friends or like hi bye. I never had any like a close group of friends, and more people knew her dad. And so I was drawing a lot then. I had posted something. I was like, I feel like all my dreams are falling away or slipping away or whatever. And one of his friends, her name's Sienna, Six's godmom, she actually reached out to me like, yo, what's good? Like, you're depressed, yeah. Bitch, boss up. Okay. So we hung out, and literally we hung out, we got food, and I went to her house, and I stayed at her house for like 2 days, and we've been inseparable ever since.
Aww. Yeah. So she was like your fairy godmother.
Yeah, I know, yes, for real.
What about your friend?
She was there when I gave birth. She was like my stand-in co-parent, basically, kind of, you know?
So yeah. Do you have good relationships with your parents? Your birth parents?
Yeah, like, not my dad, but my mom. But she lives in Michigan, and so she's not around as much as I would like, you know? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so.
I'm glad you brought up parents and mom, because I had read something, like, a really layered story about being in college, dropping out, and then a transition.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like with your mom? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I was in college. I grew up in Kentucky. I went to the University of Kentucky, full ride. So from like 7 to like then, my mom had a stepdad, but it was like a really tumultuous, abusive relationship, very controlling, like my whole life. That's really why I didn't lose my virginity until I was 17, because I wasn't finna die, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't even like allowed to leave the house, y'all.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Phone checked every time I got home from school, wasn't allowed to text boys, like, it was crazy.
Wow.
It was crazy. But there was like physical abuse, blah, 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 blah. And it got to the point where it was like fearing for our lives, like there was a gun in the house, all this extra stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
So my mom hatched this elaborate plan and with my grandpa, and basically we had to say that her like grandma died and we had to go. Really, we just drove from my house. Like, I didn't know what was happening. My mom didn't fill me in. I packed a duffel bag of a funeral dress and two, like, my sister's black dress and, like, two outfits. He was like, we're coming home. No, that was the last time I saw the house that I, like, grew up in. Like, that was it. We just drove away. And I was never been back to Kentucky since then. I had to like withdraw, didn't say bye to my friends, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's wild. Like nobody, like people don't realize like shit like that happens.
It
no, it's
happens.
Crazy.
Cause it's like, that's like a movie.
Yeah. It's a movie.
It's legit a movie.
Yeah.
And so how did that shape like what you thought about, if at all, like mm-hmm. what you thought about parenting and household mm. and dynamics between a man and a woman in a house?
Yeah. No, yeah, that's basically it. I just wanted all the entire opposite, you know? I just wanted something healthy, and I wanted to show my children, like, parents that love each other, and, like, I just wanted to show her love, really. That's all I wanted to show her is when I was pregnant, I was like, I just want her to know what love is and to, like, never... I wanted us to always, like, she can always come to us for anything, you know, she's in free control of her life, and you know, like she's her own person, but, and we're just there to support her and guide her through this life.
Yeah.
So just, that's all really all I want for her.
That reminds me of Kai's episode. Like, I want to serve as your guide.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I'm here to help you become yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I would grow up in such like a controlling environment. That is still things that I still struggle with. Like expressing myself is like, I feel words like get caught in my throat and I'm like scared to say things sometimes. Just because I was, yeah, I was never allowed to say anything growing up. So yeah.
Was your mom also channeling those behaviors, or was it mostly from your stepfather?
It was from my stepdad, and my mom would try to kind of act as like, you know, like help out, but she was being abused as well.
It's hard.
So it's hard. It was hard for her. And yeah, so she didn't make it worse, but she also didn't stand up and, you know, make it better.
She didn't know how to.
Yeah, maybe. She didn't know. She didn't know how to. Yeah. And those are her own demons that she still has to deal with, and things that, you know, we've forgiven her for, but she doesn't. She has to deal with those things and that guilt.
Yeah. So.
Totally. Does she have a relationship with Six?
Yeah, of course. Yes. We call her Gigi.
Aww.
She wanted to be called Glamma, but I was like...
Yeah, everyone's kind
of... Yeah, my mother tried to throw that in there, too.
Yeah, I was like, that's not it. That's not it.
We will not. Nini Leaks.
Michelle, you must stop. Michelle, she listens to us every... Michelle, the Glamma thing is not going to work.
It's not happening.
You can text me about it later, but...
And so now, because, like, so... I just spoke on this panel the other day about motherhood based on this film. And the biggest question that people were talking about, or a big topic, was family structure. What works? And bucking against this idea of like, what is traditional?
Right.
And like, is that even still a relevant term? Mm-hmm. So what does co-parenting look like for you?
It's crazy because we don't have even a normal a normal schedule to where we can have like these normal like your week, my week, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's co-parenting is basically us in a text thread, like trying to figure out who's even going to be where and who's going to be able to watch her, you know.
Yeah.
So I've really had Six like for 2 years, like on my own, and because her dad's been on touring. Basically the past 2 years, and working on his second album. So he hasn't even had like a lot of time, and it would be like for Father's Day, I flew out to LA, like on Father's Day, he spent the day with her. I worked for 2 days and then we had to fly home. Like, so we just try to make it work, and that's all that we can do.
Right.
Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel that I'm like constantly just figure out how to make things work.
Yeah, right, it's a bunch of flying. Like, that's what co-parenting is for
you
us.
You guys kind of work similar. It's like mostly you working around, for you to get your time, you have to work around everybody else's time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's sometimes where like the anger comes in.
Yeah, it's
like
a lot of resentment.
I don't have my own time. But I will say, if you listen, thanks for this week in New York.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what have you been doing while you're here? What's your time look like when you're traveling?
So I came here to get signed. I got signed. And that's it. Like, I've just been working.
Wait, no, you can't cut that right. Wait, I was going to like pop the water bottle.
No,
what's up? Where'd
good.
You get signed? What are you doing?
Do you want to announce that?
Wait,
no.
Can you?
I mean, it's not a big deal. Yeah, okay. I can announce, but it's not a big deal to me. It's like, you know, like the next step. We got it.
Okay,
you know?
Cute.
I mean,
she's a mom. She's like, I do this. This isn't a celebratory moment.
This is just the next step.
Okay.
So yeah, I came here for that sole purpose in mind.
So what does it mean to model today? Like, what does your average day look like as a model?
A lot of emailing and trying to figure out schedules and where you're going to be, and juggling your agents that want you, like, of course, New York wants you here, LA wants you there. It's just a lot of juggling and, yeah.
Why Atlanta? When, especially considering your career?
Okay, so I was supposed to leave Atlanta and move to LA last summer. But I hate LA. I don't like the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And
why?
What's up? What's the vibe feel like? That way. You want to use the F word? You want to use the F word?
What? No. Fake?
Fake?
Yeah. Fake.
Oh, okay.
Fake.
Yeah.
Fake. So I just was like, I'll stay in Atlanta. My best friend's there. Six is godmom. She was a bunch of help. And Atlanta is historically a black city. I'm raising a black child. And I just want her, like, there's a culture there that we can't get in New York or LA. Like, she's never gonna, Atlanta kids, like.
You've been in the Bronx? There's black culture there.
I've never been to the Bronx.
No,
you can't. It's not Atlanta. Like, you know, it's not.
Atlanta, Atlanta is Brooklyn is black. Oh, I ain't black.
No.
Brooklyn ain't black.
I will say, though, like, you know, New York definitely has and has had its time. LA continues to do whatever it is that happens in LA. I think I don't dislike LA, but it's just a different vibe. But I think Atlanta, you cannot deny the like black creative artistic renaissance that is happening in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is black. You can't hide that. And I think that's important if you're raising, like, for me to have the option to live in Atlanta and I'm raising a black child. Yeah, for sure. That's always going to be my first choice, for sure.
That's wonderful.
Mm. I ain't been back to Atlanta since my like sophomore year of college. I shunned Atlanta.
Ooh. Ooh.
No,
where
I mean,
did you go?
I also grew up in the suburbs.
Yeah.
So it was kind of boring. Yeah. I don't know. Atlanta wasn't as cool when I was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Really?
I thought. Why are you looking
at Atlanta
me like that?
Was always a thing, though, because I thought about TLC.
Our producer. Yeah. All of that, sure. If you were in the city of Atlanta, then Atlanta is cool. Okay. But everyone says they're from Atlanta, but Atlanta is like 45, 50 minutes every direction outside of Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Also. And when you live there, it's just like, I mean, you could also be in like Oklahoma.
Right.
Is that you an could A-town be in hat? Any- I'm like, you got an A-town hat.
Girl, that's Alabama. Lizzie.
Oh. How do you know the difference between an A and an A?
Oh my God, it's Roll Tide. Everybody knows.
Oh. You better rep you in redneck.
Not the camo, too.
Not the red A in the camo.
Anyways. So now you've signed.
Yeah.
And like, what are your hopes for your trajectory moving forward in modeling and then outside of that?
Hopes. I'm one of those like realistic people that like, oh yeah, everybody's like, dream big. I'm like, I just want to make some fucking money. Okay? I need some money. That's what I need.
That's how, yeah. Yeah. Honestly.
I don't have any like supermodel hopes or anything like that. I just really just want to be able to support myself without getting a regular job. That's all. That's, you know?
Yeah.
And I have the most fun and stuff when I'm in creative control or when I do like a test shoot with like a really dope team and it's creative, like it's a creative like effort among us. Otherwise it's work really, you know? Like on my job, it's work still. But it's fun work, and I don't have to wake up and go to work every day, and I can make money. So that's my hope. I just want to be able to support myself and have financial freedom through my modeling career.
Yeah.
And maybe a little, I want a cover of a magazine or something.
You know? Totally.
Maybe that's, a cover.
We see that. Girl, you can get more than a cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Jacina is gorgeous.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Can you talk about Tinder?
Yes.
Not the app.
Tender, T-E-N-D-R-E-R.
Like a chicken.
Tender is a subscription box service curated for each trimester of pregnancy. We provide elevated essentials for modern women journeying through motherhood, pregnancy, fourth trimester.
I was going to say the fourth trimester.
Yeah. So it's four boxes. Like first through fourth trimester, which is like our postpartum newborn baby box. So yeah, it's really cool. And it's like really just like self-care tools and like educational guides, all handcrafted, made natural by other women. It's all most of it is like mother owned brands. And it's like teas, candles that I curated, like this candle collection for each trimester. So like the first trimester is like a citrusy smell, and the fourth one is like a celebratory.
I was like, which one is it, girl?
When you celebrate.
Yep, a celebratory. Yep.
So yeah, and a bunch of course, like belly oils and rubs and scrubs and aromatherapy, shower steamer tablets,
nice.
A bunch of really cool stuff that is just a box of self-care for women that, you know, might not necessarily have the time.
Yeah, probably wouldn't think to do it for yourself.
Yeah, I would. It's like something I would have loved to get when I reach that next trimester mark as like a little hoorah, like, oh, you know, we're moving,
we're still doing it.
I would have loved to get something like that in the mail, and especially since I was alone, you know, so it would have been cool to be like, hey, good job. Like,
yeah, that's a great gift.
It's an amazing gift.
Did the idea of Tinder? Did it happen before pregnancy or once 6 was born?
No. So that's the thing. I've always been very, like I told you, I wanted to be a mom. And so I've always been very interested and obsessed with those type of things. And so after 6 was born, I was like, I want to do something that's not just modeling or art or writing. I want to actually have a business. So, and that was what I was, that's my passion. That's what I'm really passionate about. And I was like, okay, so I can't do birth work because I'm trying to raise 6 and that's not going to work with my schedule. Babies get born whenever they want to be born, okay? Mm-hmm. So I was like, what can I do for pregnant women? What to support them? Because that's what I'm passionate about is like pregnancy and everything. So I was like, what can I do to support them? And, you know, subscription boxes are the thing right now. So I was like, okay, maybe I can make a box. I was like, okay, make 4 boxes.
Nice. That's really cool. So, I like that.
Yeah, you know what I appreciate about this is that, you know, I think that you're really going to help shed light on what motherhood looks like at a different stage. Like, are you still considered a millennial? Are you a millennial?
I think I'm 23.
I think you're
Gen. Oh, don't do me like that.
I don't know. No, we're not trying to do you no way.
Girl, you better take your generation.
Right. No, seriously. But say that to say... I remember being 23 and like romanticizing what it would be like to have a baby. I remember having some unprotected sex. And then every time I had unprotected sex, I'd be like, I think I'm pregnant. And then being kind of excited about it. But thank God it didn't happen for me. I wasn't ready. That wouldn't have worked out for Elise at that time. But I think it's really showing women of Gen Z. Did we figure it out?
Can I be a cuss baby? Can I be a cuss?
Sure. Of the cuss. We got a bunch of old hags in here. What generation are you?
Right.
What are you guys calling yourselves now? Anyways.
Your birth year was 1998?
5. Damn, Lizzie. What is she, 12? 98.
1998 is not 12, boo. Do your math. Come on, yo.
I don't know. Anyways, the... Gen Z. Okay.
It's been confirmed.
Wow. It hasn't. Oh, we're still Googling. You're not a millennial. Sorry, you're not a millennial.
All the best albums came out in 95, so
it's fine.
Good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Point being, though, just being able to show a new face of what motherhood can look like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Motherhood in the age of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Motherhood in the age of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Motherhood in the age of Atlanta being a fucking city
America.
That people love. Yeah, mm-hmm. Truly, though. Mm-hmm. Like a hub of culture. So I think this is really important because, shit, Gen Z gonna be mamas soon.
Yeah, I think it's important, too, just because
Gen Z. 95 to 2015.
Gen Z.
Thanks.
I mean, whew. Disgusted a little bit.
Okay. It's all good. I mean, because you represent a voice. That is very important.
And there's usually like a negative stigma attached to young moms, you know? And
so
right. I think it's which I want to talk about, actually.
Yeah.
For sure. Let's do it.
I mean,
hit it.
I mean, no, I get it all the time. I am usually always the youngest one on the playground. I'm always. Little kids ask me if I'm 6's like sister.
Oh, yeah. Stop.
Yes. I at least like every few months, like, your little sister is so cute. I'm like, thanks.
Like, thanks, I'm 15.
She actually came out of my vagina.
You threw the peace sign?
Thanks.
What is it like being around other mothers? And is it intimidating? Might it be?
No, it's kind of scary. It's not scary. It's intimidating a little bit. And it's a little annoying because, you know, like, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I get to do things like take 6 to tumbling class. And usually in those spaces, I'm surrounded by, like, upper-class other stay-at-home moms. I don't ever see anybody that looks like me at any children thing class we do. And so it can be a little bit isolating because, first, like, you know, moms are not, like, they don't really... especially like
talk.
Yeah, they're not like the most welcoming group for some reason.
Because they're busy sizing other people up.
Yeah, yeah. And so it can be a little isolating experience. And then, especially going through toddlerhood, and, you know, toddlers have tantrums and they may hit other people. So I'm like, six, please don't hit that little white kid. Please, six, keep your hands to yourself, okay?
And you look like the babysitter who don't know how to tame.
Yes, exactly. Me on the playground, like, come on, six, let's go over here, please.
Oh my God, I imagine Jacina at like a tumbling class and like some really inappropriate woman, like, are you nannying for other families as well?
Tell me what their parents are like.
Like, do you have Monday and Wednesday free by chance?
Right. Are you taking on other kids?
So, yeah. And like, when it comes, that what's crazy about tumbling classes, I wore, like, bike shorts to the first one. Oh, so I was like,
you a mother and you fit?
No. Oh, I was like, oh, God. I was looking around like, this wasn't it. And I didn't wear a bra either. Oh. And I'm like jumping around. I'm like, no, this you didn't think this through. I was like, God, no.
You know, mothers are insecure about their bodies. So
yeah. I mean, listen, today I went to a tumbling class. Me and Sergeant's dad went together, which I'm super excited about. And
it's the best, right?
It's the best. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what a face might look like, because, you know, our instructor was a nice woman. Mm-hmm. But I think...
go, please, go. I want this to finish. I want to hear this through the end.
People be so mad at me.
Come on.
Anyways, I think her physicality was probably her best asset, right? Okay. Like her body. Okay. She had a really thick butt, mm-hmm. hips.
Okay. But
she, okay, white girl. And ooh. But she had on leggings. And I don't know if I was being just too self-aware, but I felt like she was so excited that Sergeant's dad was there that she kept moving her ass in our direction. And then when she had to lean over on the thing to practice drumming, she leaned right by him. And then she told some other kids, some kid was staring at him. She was like, what, you've never seen a really crazy looking dad before?
And I was just, ew. She did not.
You like, listen here, Heather. Take your little Heatherette ass to the corner, okay? All right?
Oh, no. See, I was like, okay, you might be tripping. Maybe she just had on leggings. But after,
it was much.
She bending over and dropping it.
So now imagine Jacina with no bra, nipples cutting through
side
her shirt,
side boob, and a flat
and
stomach.
And you know I'm nursing, so they was bouncing now.
With a flat stomach, and you got like a 6-month-old.
I can't. So, yeah. I cannot.
Yeah,
deal.
It's hard. I just go there and have fun with six.
So, Jacina, you spoke candidly on social media.
Yes.
About the common struggles of motherhood. And I kind of really loved what you revealed. I think you kept it very raw and really kind of, you know, showed an open face of, like, what a lifestyle is.
Yeah.
And I think it was very heroic of you and
Thank
very
you.
Important because
Thank
you're
so
speaking
much.
To a lot of people who might have been playing face, not to say you're playing face.
No, yeah.
On what it is to be a mom. Because I'm sure it's like, oh, did you have postpartum? And like, no, I didn't have postpartum
right.
until you really step in. Can you really talk about what those, you know, that moment that you expressed on social media?
Yeah. So for me, it's like you said, everybody thinks you're so happy and your life is perfect and blah, 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 based on what they see on the internet. And I've tried to be like candid about, it's not like, you know, there's rough times, guys. It's not all fun and games. But I don't think I've ever really spoke on it. So for me, and I think for me to release that from just to be able to say, hey, like, this shit's not that, like, not that it's not that great, but, like, there's times where I've been at my lowest point, and my lowest point has been when I'm a mother, like, has been through this motherhood journey. So it was freeing almost to be able to like own it and stand in it and not have to act all the time like everything is okay.
Right. Because if you go on your social media, you see all these amazing, beautiful photos of you and
yeah,
sex.
Yeah.
And I guess people and their social media ads start to drop these narratives and
right.
say, oh, this is life.
Yeah, exactly. So then I have girls in my DMs like, give me advice and like, how do you juggle being a mom and modeling and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what you don't know is six probably screamed through a whole shoot and, or I left six in the car and shot right out in the car, but I was right outside, and she just had to sit there in the car while I was shooting outside on the sidewalk because I didn't have anybody to watch her. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know those parts, or you don't know the time where I had to jump on a plane, fly to a shoot that she's booked for, and then jump right back on a plane. And these are 5-hour flights. Like, have fun with a toddler on a 5-hour flight.
And you felt alone throughout.
Yeah, and you know, you get, and it's angry. You get angry that, like, hey, I'm a parent, but there's also another parent here. Where you at? Mm. So yeah, and it was, I think I spent a lot of time being angry when I could, I don't know, I just spent a lot of time being angry that that was my reality when I could have spent more time trying to just accept it and embrace it and like sort through the anger in a healthy way and like not let it get me so caught up in being angry.
And what it,
go for it.
Okay. We got questions. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, what was your healthy avenue for healing from that, the anger and the resentment?
For me, it was literally like changing my perception of it. Like, yeah, I can be angry that you're not helping me, or I can look at myself in the mirror and say, like, look what the fuck you've done. Like, you know, like, you really got to boss up in a certain way and be like, look what the fuck you've done. Like, yeah, you have to be proud of it. So for me, it was changing how I looked at it, and then the feelings changed following my perception changing. Like, okay, you know what? I can do it. Look what you've done. Like, I'm proud of myself, you know? So, yeah. It's me embracing it and being proud of it instead of being a victim and say, where were you? I was alone. It's me using it to say, I did it.
Amazing.
Right. This is the rest of your life. Yeah. For the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's not changing. So I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to put myself in a position to feel defeated by it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jacina.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yes. Thank you so much for being so candid.
Thanks for having me.
If you want to hang out with us, we're going to do sliding in the DMs.
I'll stay.
It's that time again, sliding in our DMs. We've got Danielle from Chattanooga, and Danielle wants to know, how do you set boundaries now that you're a mother with your family?
Okay. Mm. At first, I was really timid. Like, so I didn't want Six to watch TV. She's a vegan with me, okay? She doesn't, and
I know your family was like, what? When she come over here, though.
She getting pork.
She gonna eat chicken like just like her daddy did when he was 6 months, okay?
And he's still alive.
So I was just had to be like, she's not. Mm. Good luck. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no. It was me learning, like I said, I've never known how to express myself because I wasn't allowed to. So it was a struggle because these are generally people that are older than me and people that are like, these are your elders, respect, blah, 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 blah. But then you have to realize I have a whole human to look like, that's my job. I don't have the time to not say what the fuck I want to say and speak up for what I believe in. I can't.
Yeah.
So that was me learning how to speak up and say what I want and making sure that I'm heard and respected as her mom.
Yeah. So, yes, yeah. Motherhood, find your voice.
Yes.
Amen.
Gliz.
You know, I don't know. I don't have a middle ground, so I struggle with learning how to say things in a mature adult way. And conscious of people's feelings and understanding is either I'm going to be very sweet or mm-hmm. I'm going to be like, have to say it in the harshest way for you to understand. But over the holidays, I kind of lashed out at my family because they think that Iram only has one family. Mm-hmm. It's mostly my dad. I don't know. He has this really chauvinistic mindset and wants to throw out this whole Nigerian tribe thing whenever he thinks it's relevant. And when I say that, for Thanksgiving, everyone's at my house. I hosted Thanksgiving, and it was mostly my family. And Akeem has a lot of family. And none of his family was around, but he wouldn't mind. Akeem's very chill. He's not, like, assertive where he's like, oh, my family, this family, I have to. He's like, I play it as it goes. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Like, wherever I land is where I land. I'm chill. So I looked at it as like, all right, Thanksgiving with my family. Akeem's dad drove in 2 hours in the morning at like 8 o'clock in the morning from Pennsylvania to come and see his granddaughter. So he came and was excited for our first Christmas. And my sister calls me like, hey, dad wants everyone to come over to Staten Island. I said, hell no. Akeem's dad's here.
Yeah.
And you guys had all the other holidays plus more. He's going to spend time with his granddaughter. And he made a big fuss. And I put my foot down. But then I don't know how Aram ended up there anyway. I didn't go.
But so did you put your damn foot down?
I did.
Or did you tap your toe?
I didn't go. I tapped my toenails because I didn't go. But Aram, somebody came and picked Aram up to go see her granddaddy in Staten Island. And that was the story. But I was just really, really annoyed that, you know, my family can't appreciate that there's other people in this equation.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that.
I think that's a grandchild thing.
It is.
So you're learning to set boundaries still.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got to work on you, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, because I set a boundary.
Oh.
Fill us in.
I set boundaries and I set them. You know, I too have had a difficult time existing in the middle and finding a way to communicate what I need that is going to be received well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've gotten a lot better at that. And I've also realized that sometimes it's not about what you say, it's actions. So, for example, when we go down to meet with his dad's family down south, there's so much family. And I'm not used to all of those people being around. Of course, they all want to spend time. They all want to see, and they all deserve that. However, I also deserve my sanity. So I've learned, like, okay, when I go down there, I'm going to get an Airbnb now.
Mm.
And the Airbnb makes people feel like, oh, I should ask and call and see if it's okay.
Does it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, this is my space. And you have to call before you come. You have to get the address to my space. You don't know around that? You can't pop up at the hotel? So you know, it's acting in that way. And even with my own family, I think I probably have a more difficult time setting boundaries because everybody wants to talk. Everybody wants photos. Everybody wants to share. Everyone wants to know what's going on because Sergeant is I think he's the first great-grandchild and yeah, all the things, right? Jesus. He's the first. And
all the things.
I don't know. He's the first. He's number one. And it's tough when people, especially being a mother who's alone a lot of the time, it's like, hey, just because I'm at home doesn't mean I'm available. I'm emailing. I'm working. He's napping. So I have this hour window to get X, Y, and Z done, or maybe to take a nap, or maybe to just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I need that. So I just don't pick up.
Oh,
that's your, I mean, that's avoidance your solution? Is the easiest. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly. Sometimes I just don't pick up you know, I say, hey, mornings are better. You know, or I'll create this shared album and I'll put photos in it.
You
can check it out. So I think there's so many ways, Danielle, that you can and need to set boundaries, whether it's like very explicitly saying it. Sometimes you tap your toe, but tapping your toe, get to like stomping your foot,
mm-hmm.
you know, because ultimately it's at the detriment of yourself if you don't do it. You're going to let people drive you crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah.
That's not happen this year. It's 2019.
Oh, now you want some new year, new me?
Mm-hmm. New us. New everything.
Again, Jacina, thank you so much for your time.
Shout out to
Chattanooga.
Me. Okay, shout out to Chattahoochee.
Chattahoochee. We're so childish.
Until next time.
Thanks again, Jacina.